don't know.
Press
conference. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to see everybody here today. We've got a very nice crowd. I'd like to call the January the 6th meeting of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners to order. First order of business, we'd like to have the honor of giving the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance today myself. So if you join me, please, in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we come just to say thank you. Thank you for this new day, this new week, and this new year, and a new opportunity to better serve the citizens of this great county. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity of service, to be a part of making this a better place for not only ourselves, but for our families and citizens all across this county. Lord God, we ask that you be a part of everything that we do. Help us to make decisions that are wise and the best benefit of the county. Take aside any kind of personal interest and make sure that we're working for the betterment of the county. And Lord God, I ask you that if you would be with us in this new year. We've had some great success, Lord God, and we give you the credit. In the last 7 years, we've moved the economic status of Berkshire County ahead each and every year. That's a wonderful thing, but there's much more work to be done. And we ask your guidance and your wisdom as we go forward. We ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the pledge, if you would. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay. Always at our meetings, one of the first things we do after welcoming everybody is to open up the floor for public comments from individuals. So if there's anyone that has a public comment, if you please come up, give your name, give your address. We ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes. And we also have a public comment section later in the meeting near the end. So if you don't get everything out in the first part, you can certainly come back again. But the floor is now open for public comments. Oh, come on now. Somebody's got something to say. No? Okay, good. Well, we have another opportunity at the end. So if you hear anything during the meeting that you have questions about, anything, there's an opportunity at the end. So we'll now go to our appointments and reports. And the first up is Anna Phillips from the from Crossroads. Anna? Hello, welcome. Please.
Over 9,000 readers in Berkshire, Herbert, Gates, and North Hampton counties,
Extra copies will be printed to distribute to the Polk County Chambers of Commerce and Economic Development offices. We'll also distribute the Welcome Center and the Tourism Center outside of the Vernon-Trelawney area and various corporate offices. This total editorial and advertising piece is often used as a selling tool by these entities. Last year, Berkeley County purchased the premium position of page 3, but also has the option to do a double cut, which is two-facing pages. That page 3 is the same as last year, which is 15-15, and the two-facing pages is 22-75. This will be a great way to promote what Berkeley County has to offer, such as the Berkeley Beach, the Lost Colony, the new extension of the library, the tree houses, and such. Came to see if you'd like to participate again this year.
Great. Well, I'll open it to the board for discussion. I think we've gotten a lot of positive press from it. This is the last year's ad, right? And it really kind of highlights Berkeley County and the major things that we're working on. We had page 3 last time, so board, what is your pleasure?
I don't have a problem staying the same thing.
Like page 3? Right here? I think it's a good buy. Page 3 at 1550 gives us a good exposure. One of the did we create this last time?
I worked with Sarah.
Sarah, yeah, this is great, Sarah. You did a great job. But you know, one of the things I think we might look at highlighting this year is a theme that we were using, where history and adventure meets. Right. Obviously, the opportunity for Berkeley Beach and what other things. So, if the board's okay, we'll approve this at page 3 and ask Sarah to work us up a proof or something that we can work with. Anybody has any ideas, we can. You know, send it to Sarah? Yeah, please.
I make a motion to use page 3, same as last year.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and properly second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Next on appointments and reports, we have Chris Hilbert.
Thank you, Chairman Weston and Commissioner. My report tonight on the Matthew Recovery, Flood Recovery Programs. We have three main programs that were going on from this. The first one was the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. That was kind of the initial funding. It was $6 million. We've been working through that list of 45 houses to assist the homeowners in acquisitions, relocations, elevations, just depending on what the needs were there. Acquired 30 houses to date, demolished 12 of those. We've got 17 of them under contract with two different demolition contractors demolishing property. The town is actually going to award another contract on Thursday for another 13 houses. So that'll be the rest of the 30. They'll all be awarded. They'll all be demolished within the next probably 3 months or so. So that'll be done with all of that. We've been assisting those people with relocations. There's been a number of owner relocations that have been financed or we've assisted with the financing. There's been some tenant relocations. We even have one tenant that we were able to get into a homeowner situation, which was very nice. So that we've been working through those. We just awarded last month 4 more elevations to contractors. We had 4 awarded previously. We signed contracts this afternoon on one of those elevations, so we're moving through those. So we have a few more that we're still writing up and bidding out. So, but that's kind of where we are with those 45, well, 40 of them. 5 of them were still waiting on the grant agreement from the state because they were historic properties, and that's taken way longer than we anticipated and what FEMA had indicated initially, but those 5 are ready to go as soon as we get the grant agreement. We have actually seen the FEMA letter where they're allowing it, but we're still waiting on the grant agreement from the state. So.
Is one of those houses Mr. Robinson's house?
Yes.
Okay, so it's ready to go.
It's ready to go as soon as, you know, we have everything procured to have the attorney, the surveyor, the appraiser, everything needs to go, is ready to go as soon as the grant agreement is in the hands of the bank. So, but at this point, there is no money in the existing grant agreement for those houses. So we have to have that grant agreement, that revised grant agreement. The delay in that process is because the State Historic Preservation Office is involved, and there's going to be some stipulations as to what happens with those properties and how they're recorded. They're part of the historic district, and they're contributing features to this.
All right, but they're to the point where the grant, you just got to get the grant now, correct?
FEMA's approved them. We just need the grant agreement with the state, so the state says it's okay to spend the money on it.
And how long do you anticipate that taking?
That's up to the Attorney General's office.
Yeah, that's what
we're my understanding is it's been drawn up, but it's sitting on some desks up in Holland.
So sure, the holidays.
Needs some along. Signatures. The holidays definitely delays that, yeah. Nobody works for 2 weeks up there.
What about the Pierce property on 17? Was any
That's awarded.
And, is it going to be elevated?
Yes, it's approved for elevation, and we're working our way. The elevation contractors are very busy because of the overall recovery. So we're trying to work through those. We're going to be doing construction for the rest of this calendar year when it comes to the elevation.
And my understanding is the houses that being demolished, there's nothing that can be done with those sites. They have to be left open as green fields and et cetera, right? So do we have any plans for the houses in the county that are being left like that, or are we just, I mean, who's responsible for the maintenance of those sites once?
Yeah, at this point, they're within the grant right now, so until they're demolished, we haven't really had any discussions about what was going to happen with any vacant parcels. You know, some of them in town here are contiguous, adjacent
That's
to
right.
previous
yeah.
buyout
sure.
parcels
sure.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
the reason
town
I asked,
may have some right. some thought.
The reason
process.
I asked those in the county are kind of spread out.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if are we the county going to own that responsibility of having to keep the grass mowed and the area clean?
That's something that we would be bringing to you at a later date.
Okay.
You know, once the demolitions are done, once the historic properties are done and we're at the end of that project,
okay.
then we would kind of have that discussion
okay.
about disposition of property.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they cannot be built back on. The other two projects, the CDBG-DR project, which there's an item on your agenda tonight about that, it's somewhat good news, even though it really hasn't been implemented yet. The recommendation is that that's going to be implemented by the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency. It is now up to about a $6.5 million project that's going to assist over 65 homes spread out around the county. That's based on our discussions with that office.
That's new money.
That's mostly new money. You might recall that the county had a grant for like $777,000 with the DR. So the thought process is that money would get rolled into that 6.5 and those houses all be done, but they'll be done from that Office of Recovery and Resiliency, which was not there. That office didn't exist back when Matthew happened. So that's been created by the state after Florence.
But we already had $6 million prior to that, correct?
The $6 million was the part that I talked about prior
exactly.
to the 45
so this
houses.
Makes a total
so these are
over,
additional properties.
So this is a total of over $12 million now, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And then we have other grants that we've already received or supposed to be receiving also that put somewhere around $16 million.
Well, you also have your the Golden Leaf projects and things like that.
Well, that's well over $22 million now.
Right.
So anyhow, make a long story short. So.
Yeah. So, you're kind of seeing where, as this is coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. So
Bertie's never gotten that kind of money.
Yeah. So the CDBG-DR, that's an income-based program. Like I said, it's spread out around the county. Some of those homes are just going to be rehab. Some of them need replacement because maybe the condition of their homes when they got the storm damage. So there is a resolution on your agenda tonight about that.
Yeah, and before you pass over that, Chris, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Obviously, that's on for consideration for us today. And what it does, it passes the responsibility of kind of managing that program from us over to the state,
right?
What is your feeling about that? Is that the right way to go?
Well, the state is going to be managing most all of the grants of that nature. Like I said, that was not the initial direction from the state after Matthew. So they took applications, which is what we applied for. Then after setting up the recovery center here and taking applications locally, they identified a lot more people than what we had initially out of the gate after the storm and more countywide.
You've had a lot of experience in seeing this. The two big concerns I had was whether or not we're going to still be able to have some say in how the work is done, the timetable, and at least be apprised of what's going on, and that we can also be able to recommend local labor as part of the work. With any work done, we want to make sure that folks in this county get the benefit of that.
Right.
Now, your experience, you've been around this stuff for a long time. Are we going to have issues with that?
I don't know if I can render an opinion on that because it's really never been done before at the state level.
Okay.
So this is something new.
Right.
So I don't want to have a negative view.
Sure. I mean, they've made the promises to us that we'll be able to do that.
I do think that there is not as much obviously local control over that.
Correct.
Where normally the board would have authority over the program itself. So you are giving that back to the state.
Right.
We did put a few stipulations in the resolution just as best practice type thing.
It's a trade-off. I think a lot of us didn't feel like we had the expertise in-house necessarily to do that and monitor it. It would require a lot of additional resources that we might not be reimbursed for. If the state's going to do it, they made promises to us that we should be able to insert local labor. We should be able to monitor where things are. We've got to hold them accountable for that.
I think the one thing I can say is that these DR programs have been run in other states after disasters. A lot of times they're bringing in like the more national consulting firms that are then partnering up with smaller entities within the state, and then they are looking, I think, for local contractors.
Right.
But they're also looking at it like they have a lot of money to spend. These are big. $6.5 million is not a small project, and that's just Bertie County. So they've got other counties that they're also spending. And with Florence impacting, especially some of the counties in the south, they're talking about substantial amounts of money being spent on homes. They also have a resiliency office of that recovery and resiliency office. So I think that this is a long-term office at the state level. So, it's kind of like it looks like the best thing to do at this point.
We thought it was, but you'll be our eyes to kind of help us monitor this.
I'll still be around.
There you go.
Chairman, I'd just like to say thank you, Chris, for all the work that you've done. Bertie County is way ahead of a lot of counties because we went with Chris and his group. I know Edgecombe, they haven't received anything. And, you know, we're so far ahead of the game, and it's all because of you and your company, and we just appreciate it. And, of course, the hard work that we've put in to making it all.
But that's true. The regional meeting over in Greenville, where she was recognized as number one in terms of their response to and, you know, and getting on it early and getting funds back to us. I mean, that's a great credit, but a lot of it goes to your firm.
I appreciate that, and we've I do know that we've drawn down almost $3 million already. We spent more than that, but you know the drawdown process is sometimes cumbersome. So, but we, you know, that's one of the higher, certainly percentage-wise, than anybody in the state.
For sure.
Most of that is the acquisition. We hadn't drawn down any money yet for demolition, any money for elevation. You know, but we're doing that stuff. We just haven't drawn it down yet. So, the spending rate is pretty good. Mm-hmm. At this point for that project that they did release back in July of 2018.
Chris, the one thing message we want to leave with citizens is that there is still money available, right? If your property has been damaged as a result of flooding and that kind of thing, there is still money available. If you know other citizens who've been damaged, who have not received any support, there is still funds available, right? We want to make sure that everybody gets that message loud and clear, right? You have to go through the process of qualifying and everything else, but there's still money available.
And don't think that you had to be flooded by
that's right.
The Cache Eye River overflowing here in the town of Windsor. I've got people on 45 that are in Midway, places like that, Murray Hill, they got flooded. From fields that had flooded because of the amount of rain and things of that nature to qualifying for this, as long as they fit into that program.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that a few minutes ago.
One of the individuals in my district, gutters were knocked off because of heavy rain, mm-hmm. Water came into the house, mold, mildew, that kind of thing. Not in floodplain. The Pierce house we're talking about, mm-hmm. Not in the floodplain, but we're going to raise it. So the money's out there. Let's make sure that the citizens are damaged. This is the time to make sure that, see if you qualify.
And that's that leads into the third program, which is the DRA program. That's state money for homes that were either not HMGP hazard mitigation eligible or CDBG eligible. It does have some income requirements to it, but we've allocated some of that money. Rehab improvements to some of the elevations that we're doing, you know, that were income eligible. We also have rehab elevation, possibly acquisition of some homes that were not eligible for those other two programs. So, you know, the bigger ones, $6 million, $6.5 million now, but there is still some assistance available that we have not obligated, that we do expect to obligate within the next probably 6 months.
How much money do you think you got open left?
I would say about $500,000.
In
right
that
now.
One, okay. In the one.
In that one. And, okay. But I have a list that we're going to go down. And, you know, some of them are acquisitions that are contiguous to some of the other acquisitions that we did. That for whatever reason they didn't apply. So we're going to kind of target some of those people. But they're certainly open to any applications that come in.
I know you said it's open. My question is, how are we getting this out to the public so they know? I mean, it sounds good in here, but what are we doing?
A lot of this is, you know, a lot of that assistance is, we're looking at the homes that applied for the CDBG-DR mm-hmm. project. They had over 100 applications, but they're probably only going to assist about 75 people. Some of those people are good candidates. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking at that group as the ones to assist, and I've just got to kind of go through the eligibility process with that group. But it has really been until just, you know, the last couple of months that we kind of knew what that group was. So, you know, because the state had them in their hands.
Okay.
So.
Good question. Good question. Okay, great.
That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You, Chris.
All right. Next up is Michael Freeman with the ABC Board, audit findings from the board. Mike?
Good evening.
Good evening.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed.
Wash your hands.
He's passing out the audit, and I don't expect y'all to read that tonight. Y'all can read that at your leisure.
We appreciate that.
But I'm going to hit some of the high spots and some of the low spots. But overall, it's a very good year for the ABC Board. We had $861,000 in sales. $60,000 more than last year.
That's a good thing.
Now, the low spot. We paid $189,000 in excise tax. With the mixed beverage tax and rehabilitation tax, we wind up with $193,000 in taxes, which left for next sale of $667,000, $15,000 more than last year. Cost of liquor, $460,000. Left a gross profit of $207,000. Then we had the operating expense. And I get heartburn from some of these operating expenses that are not mandated by the, well, they're mandated by the commission, but not mandated by the state. Like the excise tax, that's state. We had to do an OPEB study, commission. We had to add a CFO to our bookkeeping commission. First, it could have been one of our board members or our store manager. Can't do that anymore. We had to actually hire. Well, we just added on to the bookkeeper's duty and paid him more money. The credit card fees.
It's a killer.
That is a killer. Yeah, it really is. And I think we're paying like 3% now. And that's after searching and searching to get it down. IT service. ABC accounting and IT is a different animal. That came out to this year it was like $16,000. Out of all the operating expense, we wind up where we have a total operating expense of $179,000.
Which was down from the previous. Which was down from
Which
the
was
previous.
Down, right. We managed to lower our salaries because we didn't replace some people when they left. This type thing, that's, and of course when we didn't have the people, so the benefits was lower too. But income from operation, we wind up with $28,600. Back to the deductions, law enforcement, alcohol, education, and rehabilitations. This local, this money that stayed local. We wind up with a net profit before distribution, $28,236. Bertie County get 95%. The town of Windsor get 5%. So Bertie County would get a check for $24,005. Town of Windsor would get a check for $1,263, which a huge increase from last year.
Oh yeah. I mean, huge. As folks know, it's $290, or total altogether, $306 last year, now over $25,000. So it's pretty good management, man.
We managed to put on the drunk driving campaign for the students at Bertie High every year. This past year, well, it normally costs us $3,000+. This past year, it's cost us lunch for 8 people.
Oh, cool.
And
the
now,
truck out there was pretty neat. The goggles was really cool. Yeah.
We had one commissioner come out this year. She makes a bad drunk.
She was drinking wine before she ever got there.
But in her defense, you put those goggles on.
I've been there.
Sick.
High Point. On page 34. We had $59,485 sales tax. Of course, you know, a percentage of that comes back to the county in the form of $20,304. I didn't come here tonight by myself. I brought three friends along. Our store manager, general manager, Clint Freeman, Mr. James Few, and Mr. Miles Davis. Miles is president of the association, ABC Association, for the whole state. A month ago.
We get a discount for that? No,
a month ago, I was with one of the directors of the commission. I'll get them confused. The commission is who governs us. The association is the store membership. I was with one of the directors of the commission, and she said, and I quote, "Miles is doing a great job as president of the association." So ladies and gentlemen, Miles Davis.
All I want to say is that I'm proud of what we do in Bertie County, especially with education. And that was one of my campaigns, was that to have an education program for all the ABC systems. And it is catching on. The association is going to, not only the association, but that we're working with the commission together, which is something that's never been done. And they're going to assist in educating the young people. We're in a controlled system, and we want to keep it a controlled system. And that's because for health reasons and to keep our young people from being able to have easy access to alcohol and to people who do not necessarily need access to alcohol. And that's why we have a great control system. I also want to say that your ABC board and Mike Freeman being chairman, I remember when I first got on the board, we were not making any money and it was going downhill. And I think you have a great board in it. And I commend you guys for pointing competent people to commissions and boards, and that's what makes a difference. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
One other thing. Our education program was so well received, people from around the state have been calling it duplicated.
That's a good thing.
Great. Which only cost us lunch.
Do you know how often we hear that? That people are copying what we're doing
all the time.
In Bertie County? All the time.
All the time, man.
Really people great. Are trying to copy our beach. front property now. Mm-hmm. Try to copy our EMS system. Trying to copy everything that we're doing.
It's a good thing. Good thing. Yeah. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
And we'll have to check. When's check in the mail? Is that what I mean?
Check in the mail.
I would like to say the educational part of the ABC board is wonderful. It's well received by our students at Burt T. High. And if it saves one life, it's so worth having that crowd out there. So thank you for the educational part, the control part of the ABC. Thank you.
Great. We're going to our board appointments, and that's item B1 in our agenda. Now, we don't list them here in the agenda, but we do have in the full board package. There are two different kinds of appointments that I wanted to address today. First of all, those are the immediate openings that we have right now on boards, immediate openings that we need to fill. And then our clerk, Sarah, has also put a list of upcoming board appointments starting in February, April, June. And we listed those in, I just saw it in the paper just the other day, Sarah, so that was great work. But I want to be clear to the public here. This board changed the process several years ago. It used to be that the commissioner simply appointed whoever they thought might best serve on the boards, plain and simple. And we ended up with a lot of the same people serving on a lot of the boards. And we wanted to add new blood, give new citizens a chance to serve. So we opened up the process saying any citizen who's interested in serving on a board, we list all of the openings on our site. You simply have to fill out an application and say, I'm interested in serving on the planning board or the ABC board or whatever board has any openings. You put your own name in the hat. So if you want to serve, then we will consider you in terms of who we appoint to those boards. And we have right now, I'm just going to read you real quick, the immediate openings that we have right now. We have one board position for Child Fatality Prevention Commission. We have one opening for JCPC. Two openings on the Burt T. County Public Library. One on the Northeast Tourism Development Board. Four, Mr. Pugh, on the Nursing Home Adult Care Board. Three on our planning board, one on the Mideast Commission, one on the Albemarle Regional Library, one on the Tri-County Airport Authority Board, one on Workforce Development, and three in the Burt T. County Public Library. So I think we had that listed actually twice, so there may be different kinds of positions. But those are positions that are open now, right, Sarah? So citizens, if you want to serve, here's an opportunity. If you have expertise or even just interest on an area, please put your name in the hat. We could use good citizen involvement, your experience on these boards. So this is your opportunity. And then you'll see the ones that are coming up in the next few months. You can always check our website. It's just a small report, an application you fill out. And we'd love to consider you and love to get you on the boards. Okay? So do we need to do anything else on that today other than just make that announcement? These positions are open. Board, anything else need to be said? Okay, great. Let's go on then to the consent agenda. We have several items here on the consent agenda. First is approval of minutes, regular session 12-2-19. Approval of register of deeds reports, December 2019. Approval of our tax release journal, November of 2019. I want to stop at those three. What is your pleasure, board, on that? Those three items?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and properly second. I heard Vice Chair Lee first. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Number four is approval of sealed bids recently received for foreclosure property located at 532 Woodland Road, the advertising the 10-day upset.
Yes, this is a property that the county acquired as a result of delinquent taxes. And at this time, we received a bid with the bid of $2,000 and a deposit of $750. And as you can see in your board packet, it listed taxes owed about $6,506 and legal fees and court costs of $3,538. So there's a total of $45.28 when it comes to the taxes owed and legal fees and court fees. So at this particular point, if you all approve the bid, it will be advertised for 10 days for upset period. And at that time, after that time is up, it'll come back before you for final approval.
Okay. And that bid encompasses that whole amount that's owed on the properties?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just the sale. So we're going to be stuck regardless, right? $8,000.
What is the property?
You said what is
it? What is the property?
It's a house, but there's a picture on page 43 in your board packet, and that picture was taken some time ago, about 8 years ago. So it looks a lot different now. The house is pretty dilapidated, and there's trees that have grown taller than the house.
You can't even see it from the road.
Right, right. So, I'm sorry.
What's the tax value?
$64,700. It was $64,700 last revaluation.
Page 60, you got it? Page 43. So taxes owed, legal fees, and court costs, we're in it for about $10,000, right?
Correct.
Well, okay. Well, we know the process. It's up for bid. Maybe we'll get a different upset bid, but it's available to the public and those who are interested.
Well, we don't have to accept this.
No, we do. We don't.
It's only up to you.
We don't have to approve.
I'd rather not. I'll make a motion not to accept that bid.
Good. Moved and properly second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. All those opposed?
Tell them to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. With a tax value of $64,000, almost $65,000. And the house, I know the house. It's in my district.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the curb, if you're going down Woodard Road, going down the neck, right in the curb after the bridge to your right. You can't really see it because of the trees, but it's been there for a long time.
I'm anxious to see what the new value will be since we've just gone through that.
Right.
So, maybe Mr. Ray could help us out with that. If it comes back up on the
agenda.
Not as of
right now. That's not worth it.
Okay.
It wasn't worth
$64,000
last
week.
Yeah,
it's worth
more than two. Yeah.
No, that's right. If it comes back on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Okay, and number five, the resolution of termination of agreement for the NCOR and the CDBG-DR program. Chris just talked about that a little bit. Terminating the agreement for the county's direct management of that, turning that program over to the state. What is your pleasure, Bill?
Make a motion to move forward.
Moved. No, second?
I want to, but I will. Yes, second. I don't have a choice.
We don't have much of a choice. Well, any further discussion before we go? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it, and we will now turn this over to the state for monitoring, and Chris and Holland will help us make sure that we know what's going on as they move forward. All right? It'll be an interesting. Okay, great. Discussion agenda, budget amendments to Finance Director William Robertson. William?
Simple, just kind of, I think I have three in here. The first one is, I've heard it pronounced Roal, but it's for Rural Operating Assistance Program from the state. They finally have sent a letter out saying that they're going to release some money, and it's going to be roughly about $139,000, which covers elderly and disabled transportation, workforce, and basically the CPA. That's pretty much what that money goes out to take care of. The next one I have on the list was we have received an emergency hazard material emergency preparedness grant that Mitch has applied for, that we got word back that we got accepted for it. And then the last one was that Cooperative Extension had received $2,500 from Ag Carolina to help on the livestock in Berkeley 4-H. and I need your approval to put all these in so they can start using.
Okay, let me have a couple questions first, William. On the first grouping of those that were increased, the total amount of those dollars that you're sharing, that is the increase over what was expected to be received. Is that correct?
No, these are the amount they told us we're getting. The state had never released the money yet.
Right, so we did not. That's my question.
Yeah.
So this is net new to budgeted funds, is the way I would look at it. We didn't have it
in the budget. We didn't budget for it because we had no idea what it was going to be.
Exactly. So we're talking about here somewhere about 100 and...
I think it's 139.
139. And I see this as new money.
But it goes right back out to for the program.
Well, it is new money, but it is a program set up to use it.
Still, but...
It's committed.
It is committed, but if we didn't have the money, there would be nothing for the nothing to do. So this is additional work that can be done because we're getting the funds. That's a good thing.
Let me ask you a question. What about the $1.1 million that the state owes us?
They still owe us.
So we have not received any of that money at all?
No.
Okay. That's good for the general public to know when you look at fund balance and things of that nature. $1.1 million the state of North Carolina owes Burke-T County because we used our own money during flood situations, EMS buildings, things of that nature. So we need to be on this.
Just a little insight. Today I actually received confirmation that our extension letter has finally been approved. The extension letter we've done way back in April.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say 8 months ago.
So now having that, hopefully they can move forward.
Right. So the board can know that one of the things I've asked Juan and William to do a little bit different in our monthly meetings is when we cover the budget amendments, I'm asking them to work out some kind of threshold, if you will, so that William can come before us and explain to us those items that exceed that threshold, positively or negatively. I know all of them are listed in your book, but if in my talking with most of you, some of those things are very difficult to understand, acronyms, whatever. If they're positive or if they're significantly negative, William, I'd like you to be able to come and just give us some heads up so we know what the impact of these things will be on the budget. Are they positive impacts, like the ones you listed here, or they're negative impacts? Because we have to manage, especially the second half of the year, a budget extremely tight. And, you know, so if there's something unexpected or whatever, positive or negative, we really kind of need to hear from you what that is.
Okay, vote on this one. So
absolutely. Oh, we won't leave you hanging on this. We won't leave you hanging on this. Trust me. But you understand what we're asking for, right? Because we need to be able to understand what it is and apply that to our thinking as we go forward with the budget. Okay? Now, the motion's open. The floor's open.
I made the motion.
John made the motion. I hear second.
Second.
Been moved and properly second. All those in favor of approving these budget amendments, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you, William. Oh, and I also understand that in our work session coming up later in the month, we're going to see our first kind of schematic about where we stand against budget year to date. Okay? As we prepare that, that's the one pager that shows by all departments and major revenue areas where we stand against budget, right?
And our fund balance.
Oh, yeah. And we'll. That's a little hard.
Would be nice to know.
It's a little harder. That's a bit.
Yes.
But we're going to have that every month, so that we know exactly where we are leading to the end of the year. So if we have to take any extraordinary steps to make sure that we manage to budget, this will be the way to do it. All right? Great. Next is the Human Resources Update, the Risk Management Director, Courtney Ward. Courtney? Her first time before the board?
No. We don't like
her. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
Doing great. Okay.
Good.
Ellie. So this evening, I will briefly discuss a few of the items that I've started working on within the Human Resources and Risk Management Department. To begin with, we'll go over a couple of items that were included in your packet. We can start with the corrective counseling form. So Burke-T County Personnel Policy states in Article 9, Section 3, that a brief summary of counseling sessions should be documented in employees' file by the supervisor or department head. The purpose of this form is to create a standard form of documentation. Not only does this make the structure of the counseling or coaching session a bit easier for the supervisor facilitating the meeting, but also ensures a standardization across the board for all employees to be addressed at the same level as their fellow staff members. Each meeting will be slightly different due to the type of communication and action as well as the receiver of the form, but this creates a baseline and helps establish solid discussion points for the meeting. You guys have any questions about that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
So did you create this form?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, so did you give any thought to it having on here somewhere where if this is a first or second offense or disciplinary?
No, that's definitely something that we can add to it. So my thought process as far as where the communication type and the action type comes into play is the communication type kind of leads up to that progression as far as re-educating or readdressing an issue. So just kind of an example. So we bring someone in for coaching. After the coaching, we would bring someone in for a mediation. That's kind of that progression upward, then moving on to the verbal, the written, and then we go to the actual action of suspension or dismissal. But we could definitely incorporate this is our first or this is our second on the certain offense.
Give it some thought.
Yes.
Yeah. And this stays in the file anyway, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you'd be able to see that. Right?
Any more questions on that form?
Okay. No, it's good.
Next, we could go to the incident reporting forms. We'll start with the actual incident reporting form. This includes the time period for which a report should be submitted, as well as grabbing the attention of the managers to make them aware that this would be a two-part process of submitting an incident report to the risk management department. This form allows users to indicate whether this is a report of injury or illness or property loss or damage. My goal is to help the individual completing the form avoid forgetting to submit vital points of incident or injury that could potentially delay the claims process.
Yeah.
Any questions on this one?
Yeah.
Next, we'll jump to the incident investigation form. The purpose of this form is to ensure appropriate follow-up of the reported incident. This form gathers information to hopefully avoid future incidents. It allows managers to make suggestions on not only how they feel we can prevent future incidents, but also suggest ways that we can implement their ideas of prevention. It also includes a section that directly asks if the incident had been reported to the risk management department. This was included to make managers aware that this turnaround time is actually being documented. I hate to be a stickler about it, but we have to ensure that these claims are being filed in a timely manner, as well as internally addressing them on an appropriate timeline. Any questions about that form?
Have you had the opportunity to speak to the managers?
Not yet. We haven't rolled it out to the management team.
So once you do that, they'll be well informed of what you expect from these forms.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Vaughn and I have discussed kind of going over it step by step. If you have any questions, this is what we expect to see when you turn in the form type of meeting.
Okay.
Any questions on any more questions on that?
No, I think that's great.
There are a few other items that I had my eye on within the Human Resources and Risk Management Department that I feel will be useful as far as retaining effective documentation within the department. Excuse me. These items include a standardized evaluation outline. There may be multiple forms or outlines amongst different departments. My hope is to be able to bring all of those formats together and create an across-the-board type of system as far as evaluations. I do recognize and understand that certain departments do fall under the organization oversight of the state, so they will have a format or structure delivered straight from the state, but my hope is to be able to pull some of those items from those formats and kind of create an across-the-board structure. We'll roll them out to all the departments.
Courtney, that's something we've waited for a long, long time, and that we really need. The public should know that we're looking for a way to better evaluate performance by county employees. You know, we've never had a really well-qualified program to distinguish between folks who are doing a great job, those who are doing an okay job, and those who maybe need some work. And unfortunately, because we don't have that, we simply generally do across-the-board increases and not able to reward folks based on performance as well as cost-of-living kinds of things. So you may think, gee, maybe we should have had that a long time ago, but we don't. And we're working towards that. And Ms. Ward, having you here with your experience as our new HR director, this gives us an opportunity to take this up a major step forward. So I applaud your work so far and keep it coming.
And to add to that, when we first got elected, to get people's pay scales where they should be in Percy County, from everybody that was employed here, basically, all the way down through the Sheriff's Department, EMS, all of us. So there's a lot of work that has not been done.
Well, that actually brings me to another item that I've had my eye on within the department. It's just kind of a salary compression. And right now, the one that we're kind of looking at as far as departments are concerned is the assess. Currently, like you said, the way that the structure is set up is just kind of a base. It doesn't really take into consideration years of experience. So our hope is to be able to address that, and that, like you said, it's just kind of been sitting there for a little while, which is okay. Yeah. But what
we know is that if we don't address it, the state will, as we've recently seen, which it makes it difficult for us because we didn't plan for it, right? So if we're addressing it, we'll know what to kind of expect as we go through budget-wise, even though all of the budgets are not ours, all of it's from the state, but it'll allow us to manage our expectation a lot better, you know. So.
A couple more items that I've been working on within the department is basically reviewing the personnel policy as a whole with the intention to update with items that may need just a little bit more elaboration as well as incorporating new systems and programs, such as the incident reporting procedure, just to kind of outline that so that someone has something to go back to outside of the instructions that may be included on the forms. And the organizational chart, I'm sorry, I kind of jumped out of order when we talked about the salaries. My plan is to create an updated standard organizational chart that broadly addresses the director level governing body and all applicable parties that fall in between. To be honest, I plan to dive into each department to establish an org chart if one does not already exist within the department so that department heads can share and kind of reinforce that chain of command within their department. But that's all I have to do.
That's a lot.
Question. Have you looked at as of yet the exit anything?
I've actually taken a glimpse at what we have, asked a couple of questions to some of my support since I've been there, and to my knowledge, there's not an established standard across the board, but I have a couple of ideas that I've kind of jotted down. I haven't really discussed it with Mr. Brown quite yet.
I think that is so important because I've seen cases where departments aren't being filled and we may throw money at it, and that might not be the solution. So if they do an exit interview and we can find out where the problem really is, I think that would be most helpful.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
There's also some policies within our personnel manual that are non-existent. I've spoke briefly with Mr. Wright about. So, if you could take a look at that as a whole, I know the state. I'm a former state employee. They have some great policies. You know, there's no need to reinvent the wheel when their policies are available. But if y'all could, IP notes when I'm talking.
Yeah, best practices. We need it, no need to do it. Great. Courtney, thank you. Thank you very much. And let me say this to the board. You know, as new chair to the board, I've asked the interim county manager to make sure that every month we try to have one department head on our agenda. And for the department head to come forward and give us an update of what's going on, very specifics in their department. We get it kind of haphazard, but I think we need to have it and plan it, and that person can bring us the good, the bad, and the ugly, and let us know where they stand and what their needs are and how well things are going, and keep us apprised of that. So hopefully this will be something that we can stick to, and I thank you for being the guinea pig, the first one to come forward.
Great job.
But hey, you did a great job. Okay, great. Next is Corporate Extension, Billy Barrow. Billy, I know you're coming up with something else, but a lot of folks might not know, but we lost one of our own family folks here in county government. We had her funeral on Saturday, and so many people came out, Billy, your staff, and Sheila, so many people. It was a wonderful homegoing service. I know she's going to be missed, but... we consider ourselves a family here in county government, but even in departments, you guys are a family, so you lost someone very dear, so we share that loss.
Well, thank you for that, and we appreciate y'all's presence. I know the family did, and it was a nice service.
It was, very much so.
I have a handout, if I may.
Yes, please.
As you may know, or may not know, Bertie County shares an agriculture agent. That's an NCANT agriculture agent. We share that agent with with Hertford and Northampton counties. His areas of responsibility are to work with small and minority farmers. He focuses a lot on youth and community development also. Now, his salary is currently being paid 100% by NCANT, and they approached the director who had those positions in their county, along with county manager, back in October, about beginning to partner with NCANT and carrying part of their financial responsibility. So like I said, they've been paying 100%. He's been on board for about 7 years now. He's based in Hertford County. And what they put together is to try to do this partnership over a three-year period. And we want to raise it up to where the three counties together would contribute 50% of the salary. And that's what we're trying to do with our salaries here in Bertie County anyway. We're trying to contribute, and we are about 50% of each one. So how does it affect Bertie County? I've got a little breakdown there. So for the first year in the upcoming budget year, we'd be looking at, if you look at salary benefits, about $4,500 we would be trying to add to our budget. And so what they've done, they've broken it down. The first year, again, all three counties would contribute the same amount. It would be about 20% of the total what they're trying to get us to do. The next year would go to 35%, which would be about $7,900. And then the last year would be about $11,400. So the three-year period to make that transition to where we would, as a group, would be contributing 50% of the salary. So my purpose tonight is just to, put the ball in request, just to make you guys aware of what's coming, what you're thinking about doing, what they'd like for us to assume. So we're going to put that out to you. If y'all might have any questions, y'all just consider that for the next budget.
Well, we don't have to make a decision tonight, but it's a good heads up for us for the budget. So, William, this is a placeholder for us. Now, let me ask you a little questions about this position. Now, this person covers three counties. So are we really getting a significant amount of help from this person in Bertie?
He makes contact with small farmers. He works with Jarrett, and I know he's been working some with we get some small farmer requests, we're doing that. So we're going to be working to utilize him more. I know he's done a little bit more in Hertford County with some community gardens, and I know he's had some regional workshops that have been held, and folks have had opportunities to go to those.
One thing needs to be understood that we, you know, we are the largest percentage-wise minority county in this region, right? So, and we have a lot of minority farmers in this community and a lot of small farmers. So I want to make sure that we are getting the level of support that we need, right? So, you know, we look to you to help manage that for us and make sure that we are getting what we are in essence now going to have to pay for, right? Couldn't argue too much before when it was not our money, but now it's going to be our citizens' money. So we want to make sure that they're getting value for that dollar, right?
Okay. Wouldn't it be important that we meet this person also?
I'd like to meet him,
sure. We have no idea who this person is.
I have no idea who this. That would be a great idea. Yeah. Maybe you can bring him forward and let him talk about what he has. If he's been there 7 years, what he's doing, and what he wants to continue
what
to
do. What he has done.
Yeah. Good idea. Like that. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank
you very much.
Did you notice the steel going up?
Yeah,
I like
it.
Yes, sir. It looks good.
Yeah. Well, our, for the audience purpose, we're getting a new agriculture extension and library building all in one, paid for by Golden Leaf money. And they started putting steel up. I just noticed it today. I don't know when they actually started, but it's exciting. We're going to get a new building.
Yeah. And on the back part of the library is a $1 million extension community space that can be used for all kind of events and family reunions, meetings, whatever. Paid for in grant, total for us, $1 million community space that was added. We've needed that here in the county, right? And it will be owned by you, the citizens. So you get to call the shots for it. That's really exciting.
And we went back to Golden Leaf to get that.
Yeah, we did.
And got it. And they said we wouldn't get it. We got it.
All right. Next thing, number four, Jody, this with the tax collection rate update for us.
Good evening.
Hey, Joe.
I was with the collection rate and the update on revaluation.
Yes.
As you know, for the last 2 years, we've been preparing for the 2020 general countywide revaluation. We are finishing up the next week or so. We're looking at having notices out the latter part of January. I cannot give you any figures. We haven't reached that point yet. We are looking at probably a modest increase. You will have properties that are going to go up. Some are going to go down. Some may pretty much stay the same. As I said, we spent 2 years doing canvassing the county, talking to real estate agents, talking to mortgage lenders, looking at sales over the last 2 or 3 years. So we've done a lot of market research on this. We are doing a windshield revaluation, which is basically a drive-by. We're looking at our property record cards and matching up what we have versus what's on the property. It would benefit us, be costly, it would benefit us to look in the future to do what's called either a walk-around or a full list and measure. Walk around, they will actually get out and walk around the property. Full list of measure, they actually go back and measure all the buildings. There's a lot of missed revenue. But also know your reservations about getting phone calls of people walking around other people's property. That is an issue. But there is some missed revenue that we're just not getting. In today's figures, it would probably be an additional $100,000 to do a full list of measure. But just a
thought. And that is in the cost. Is that the cost you're saying, extra $100,000?
Yes. I think we were at $360,000 what this one costed.
If the cost is going to be $100,000, any idea what the anticipated new revenue
will
be? See, that's the key. That's the key. That's the issue. You know, it's not a question of spending the money. If we knew, if we had some idea what the return would be.
Right.
If you could get us some more intelligence, Jody.
Yeah.
Look at what other counties have done who moved in this direction. Talk to the firms that we've used and what should be our expectation, right? Help us to make a wise decision. You know, it's not a question of spending the money if, in fact, the return is greater than the money spent, the citizens benefit.
Right.
If it's not, I don't know.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to the same saying, doing this every 4 years instead of 8 years. Right. Spending that kind of money, how much are we going to gain out of it? We're not.
Right. Well, the Department of Land is mandated by state law, it's every 8 years. The Department of Revenue, a while back, pushed for all the counties to go to a 4 year. Some of us pushed back, like Burke County.
Sure did.
We don't have the growth to justify, we don't have the funding to spend $400,000 every 4 years.
Yeah, we don't.
And for those citizens who were knowing that this is a revaluation is coming up, you heard it here. Yes, there may be some slight increase. Some properties will go up, some will go down, but overall. So I don't like to say we lucked out, but we hit it at a good time. You look at some of the other counties around us who did reval just a few years ago when the economy had not started to improve. Okay? Properties fell through the floor. Other times some counties do them at a high cycle, and then, you know, rates go up dramatically. So we hit it, I think, pretty much just right, right? And then, so this will serve us well for the next 8 years, hopefully. Okay?
But when those notices go out, there's a 30-day informal appeal period. Then after that is through the Board of Equalization review, we do every year since that time is extended.
Yeah, Jody, I want to commend you and your department for the excellent work you've done. I mean, since you've been there, I remember when you came before the board and you were taking that step up to your current position, and you assured us that you could do the job, you'd get the certifications that were needed, you've met every challenge, and we've raised that collection rate. I'm very, very pleased with that collection rate. We just need to keep things going in the right direction. Thank you. Thank your department for their work.
As far as the collection rate, we in the process now or closing out the month of December. I don't have total figures on that yet. I won't have it this week. But looking at December 31st for 2017-18, we were at 76.33%. 18-19 was 73.85%. And the figures I've seen today is going to put us around 74% for this year. Even in comparison to November 17-18, it's 41.45%, 18-19, 34.61, and 19-20, 36.32. You see that big, almost double jump in November to December.
Yeah.
And we've already seen a big increase in the last month. Today was the last day we paid for interest accrued. So, 74% for December's average, a little bit higher than last year's.
So. That's good.
But I'll have those final figures in the next day or two, and email that to you.
Good. Great. Thank you much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. And number five, the Fire Prevention Code Enforcement Update, the Building Inspector Chris Surgeon. Chris, come on up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Vaughn had asked for us to give a little update on the fire prevention inspections that we got going on. As you guys know, a little over a year ago, we had a discussion that some of our inspections weren't getting done, and we moved to try to get that taken care of. Back in March of 19, we contracted the services of Mr. John Rawls. He's also with the Hosky Fire Department, which is where he's at this evening. That's why he couldn't be with us as well. Since that time, we've done a little over 300 fire inspections that are above our normal routine of inspections. These are more the state-mandated maintenance inspections that are required as we went through the schedule a while back. These are, like I said, they're maintenance inspections, so they're just either annual or every 3 years, depending on the type of occupancy. So in that period of time, there's been over 300 of those inspections done that were above and beyond what we would normally do. And he's been averaging somewhere around 60 hours a month with us. He's doing a lot of these maintenance inspections. I've been continuing to do some of the ones that we were already doing, things like foster cares, group homes, things of that nature, that we were taking care of. We started here at home, basically. We started with the county buildings. And then we moved into the town of Windsor buildings as well. And things went pretty well with those. We're still pretty much working in the Windsor area. We haven't been able to get much outside of Windsor at this point. A lot of businesses here in town. I didn't realize how many we had until we got started with this. We are currently making plans. We've done some fire inspections out at Avoca because they've put in some new buildings, some new systems in the past year. We're looking at making plans to get to Purdue as well, being one of our big industries here in the county. And that's where we tried to go first, was our higher risk occupancies. You know, we did our assembly spaces here in town first. And, you know, anything that was a higher risk area, we wanted to try to touch on those first. And, you know, once we get to those, we're going to move out into the other municipalities throughout the county. We'll be going to Coleraine, Lewiston, Olander. I've actually been kind of in contact with some in Olander already. So that's where we're at right now. So any questions or concerns or
questions, Paul?
How close are you to getting what you need, your certification, so we don't have to pay Mr. Ross 60 hours a month?
Well, and it's the certifications, I'm right there at that. The only thing on that, we still would be lacking manpower. So, you know, regardless if it's a contract or we have another position, the manpower is a big thing there, I mean, for sure.
Right. So it's
a big county, as you guys know.
William, the cost of Mr. Rawls and the additional work, was that a budgeted expense for us for this year?
There was some money put in there for it.
Can you check on that for us? Because we want to be able to, I think it's probably exceeding the thing. So we want to make sure that we know what it's going to cost us on a full basis for next year, whether we go contract or whether we hire someone. We need to look at that, you know.
What is an hourly rate? 50.
50.
So far, we spent about, through the end of the year, about $28,000 on the contract.
And what's that hourly rate we're paying on that?
$50
an hour?
Yes. We had budgeted for another position. I was talking with Mr. Sauer about that,
and
continuing those conversations with Mr.
Vaughn,
so I'm sure, you know, that
was passed
along.
So, Trace, let me make sure I understand. So we budgeted for that extra
position? We budgeted for an extra building inspector.
Right. So we're using those funds to
not have anyone qualified
right.
to apply.
So we're using those funds to help cover
right.
part
so
of this cost.
We were budgeted about $10,000
okay.
initially in the last fiscal year
right.
for the contracted services. And then we, since then, that was depleted,
right.
of course, and we moved money out of the money that
was
budgeted for that.
Yes, so we're going to be short to some amount.
Right.
So we want to work together to make sure that we make the best. I know it's tough hiring somebody with the skill level and whatever, but, you know, we just want to know what are the pros and cons on that, right?
Right.
And if we can.
Is it necessarily a full-time position that you need?
At this point, I would say yes, considering the amount of time that's been put in and no further than we've been able to get. I mean, because I've been busy with, you know, regular building inspections and stuff. I had hoped to be able to spend more time with him doing these fire inspections, but thankfully, our county, I think, is doing pretty well as far as new construction. There's been a lot of new homes built over the past year. I don't have those kind of numbers with me, but I know we've had quite a few buildings.
We've had growth.
I'd love to see a little more commercial going up, but
so
you know, thankful for what we got. So.
Can we not advertise again and let it be a continuous advertisement until?
Well, Mr. Vaughn and I have had some I'm sure he'll be discussing that
all right.
in the very near future.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Oh, Chris?
Beyond your higher risk areas that you were talking about, how do you determine the order in which you do your inspections?
Like I said, the first course, obviously, when we spoke with Mr. Sauer about it originally and, you know, decided to kind of start on this, my point then was, all right, we need to hit, well, not hit, that's, Tracy don't know how to use that term, but we needed to get our own, you know, our own buildings first, obviously, and then we would go to the town. And beyond that, we're just going to kind of try to work our way out from the center. We want to obviously go to our municipalities first. We'll have some businesses that are obviously out in the county that are not, you know, governed by any of our local municipalities. But that's kind of, we're looking for bigger population areas, I guess, and that sort of stuff. And like I say, obviously the industries, bigger businesses, things like that, we want to try to get.
The reason I ask that question is to be easy for people to feel like they weren't being treated fairly when you're going to give me a hard time of why haven't I been down the road.
Right.
That's why I'd like to see some system, some way of explaining to people the order in which you're giving.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we're, you know, we'll, as we move out, we want to touch base with the local towns, you know, and let them know, hey, we're coming in now. You know, if you start getting phone calls from your citizens or whatever, you know, we're here.
We've got a way you would rather us do it. I mean, we talked about doing it by population. We started here in Windsor because this is where our building, the county buildings are, and the town offices and the largest population the county sees.
I think that was smart just to get our buildings out of the way because it shows people
and
we're
and
doing ourselves first.
Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I just think I know what's coming.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's what, you know, what we, you know, one of the things that I kind of thought about, you know, well, okay, we could go in alphabetical order, our towns and things. You know, does that work? Or do we just, you know, take the map and look and, you know, kind of work
Chris,
I think
you said something, though, earlier, that where is the risk? Where is
right.
the most risk?
Right.
And that's what we need to look at. I'm not saying do a full-blown risk assessment of every business, but, you know, size of a business, activity in that business with citizens coming in, employees being there at work, we ought to take them, I think, in kind of that order. That's easy to explain, right?
Yeah.
To Greg, your point, that we're looking at businesses with the most risk to employees and citizens.
I mean, you look
right.
at you look
that's
at Valley,
what you want to have.
With about 300 employees.
Yeah.
Purdue with
yeah.
2,000, and Valley, quite frankly, is a huge endangerment with, you know, the boiler systems that they have there.
It's a high risk
which
business.
Which is nothing but compressed ball.
Yeah, we're not looking forward to getting to that place at all. But
I know.
We know we need to get there for sure.
I know. And then you
fortunately, in a conversation that I've recently had, I was over for a mechanical inspection over there,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of talking with the maintenance guy that met me, and he was telling me a little bit about the system and the way they keep their records and that sort of stuff. Made me feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he was being on the up and up with me.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, you've got Wellens too, which their boiler system is twice the size as Valley because
right.
they're feeding them steam.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a big place over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
is actually
place.
Our industrial park that people
yeah.
don't even realize. Over
yeah.
Tracy, I would make a strong recommendation that we look at the level of risk associated and let that be the priority that we should look at using. That's easy to explain. We're eliminating the places with the most risk first
yeah.
and getting to them. It doesn't make sense to go to a place that's affected by a couple of people when you got somebody here with 500 people there,
yeah.
right?
I would like to add, I know for me, probably a lot of others, it's not a matter of who you do first. It's how fair it is done.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's done fair, you can start even.
Right.
Everybody
and that's something we're trying to do is to be fair across the board best mm-hmm. we can.
I don't have any question it's fair. It's just it's a perception.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're giving me a hard time. Down there, you haven't been to him yet.
Yeah, and
you just need to have a system where you can explain why.
Yeah.
As long as you have a system, I'm not trying to tell you what the system should be.
Right.
I'm saying there should be a system.
Yeah, and I think part of our problem has been with, like I say, with the lack of manpower, because with John, his schedule is he works one day at the fire department, then he's off for 2 days. He's a 24-hour shift. So I might get him 2 days a week. I might get him 3 days a week. Some weeks I actually get him 4 days because his day on is on Wednesday. So he's here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But then if anything else comes up, then it kind of backs that off. So you might get to this one today, and it might be the end of the week before you can get to the next one. And that's part of where some of that comes in.
Is there anyone else in the area that can do it?
Well, there are deals where you can hire people, contract, qualified for various positions, whether it's fire inspections or building inspections or electrical inspections.
Yeah.
There's a system that they have, and that mostly it's probably retired inspectors.
I guess I'm saying, I don't know what it cost us anymore. Getting more people to get it done fast.
Yeah, because and that was, you know, just talking about the hourly rate, you know, I called around a couple of counties and talked to some that were on the what they call that? Marketplace. Is that
mm-hmm.
yeah, with the Department of Insurance. And that was pretty much the rate that was going around, you know.
You don't want to get ahead of yourself too much because you have to keep these businesses on that schedule. And
yeah.
It has to be monitored. So, one place may have to have an inspection every year. Some are every 3 years. So,
and the biggest thing, if you find a violation, you got
to
go back.
To some degree.
That's right.
Sometimes two or three times.
That's right.
Yeah. And
that's how it was before.
Because a year from now or 3 years from now, we're going to get
right.
to bind and everybody's going
to
be due.
Yeah.
And
then working in new businesses and new
that's right.
places.
That's right. And I just want to remind you that the real purpose of this is the elimination of risk. Not
yes.
the elimination of risk to
right.
the public and employees, not getting every place done.
Yeah.
It's the elimination of that risk.
Right.
So if we go about that in a way that makes sense, where we attacking the places with the most risk, it simply makes sense. And no reason to put Purdue at the end of the line when you got 1,000 people out there who are at the possibility of in a place that could be harmful. So it just makes sense to consider that
yeah.
in your plan of attack.
And two, one of the only issues that I see with multiple, you know, especially if we're contracting, if we had multiple permanent positions, that's one thing. But if you're multiple contract positions, the problem you got there is multiple opinions. And you don't necessarily get that fairness that you're trying to get. That's the only, because I'd love to have about 10 guys come in here and sweep the county and get it done quickly. But if you got 10 people, you got 10 different opinions.
And then you're talking about opinions, you're talking about interpretation of the code.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So let's make sure everybody's clear on
yeah,
that. Part.
Yeah,
so
well, yeah.
It's not your opinion, it's the interpretation of that code, just like
that's right.
they interpreted general statute.
Because at the end of the day, there's interpretation, and I like to go to the Department of Insurance directly for interpretations a lot of times to be sure that I'm getting what the state says, not what I say. And, you know, that's a big thing to me, is trying to make sure that if I say it, it's not just my opinion, it is a state interpretation.
Right. Airport Authority had to go to the state insurance department on a matter at our new airport building. So, yes.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. The last thing, ladies and gentlemen, on our discussion agenda is the rescheduling of our February the 3rd regular scheduled meeting in Powersville. Turn it to the City County
yes,
Manager.
Yes, we had a conflict with the February 3rd date. Not everyone was able to be here, so it was requested that we reschedule that. And February 10th is the new date, if that works for everyone.
That's
and that
it's the same day of the week, but just
yes,
in the next week.
Yes. Exactly. And
so,
that meeting is in Powersville.
Right. So we need some consensus or agreement from the board on making that change. What is your pleasure?
It's good to meet.
From the 3rd to the 10th, from that one Monday to this first Monday to the second Monday.
Same time, same location.
Is Palisville good with that? Have you checked with them?
I have not. So we've been trying to find.
I think you know about it, but we didn't. We officially changed the time we wanted to change. Yeah, are you good? That's why she wanted to change it to a third, from the third. Okay. Are we good?
Yeah, good.
Ms. Bateson?
Ms. Bateson? You good? Yeah, great.
I'm good for the 10th.
Tender for the 10th, right. Okay, we don't need a motion. Let's just, on consent, move that to the 10th. Is that okay?
Thank you. Same time,
notify the citizens and the commissioners in Powellsville, right? Okay. All righty. Okay. Now, on to commissioner reports. What's the first? Let's start, John?
Yeah. As everybody, well, not everybody should know this, but we've chosen an architectural firm in reference to the tall glass border store design, preliminary designs. Vine architectural firm was a great fit for Bertie County. I mean, they even came with a project model that laid out on a table that they had put together. It was a very just excellent presentation on their part and strong knowledge of what we're doing. Also, there was a committee that's been put together, I think Ms. Robin over here and several other people, and Commissioner Bazemore and myself, we sit in on this committee in reference to tall glass borders for design and things of that nature. And your county commissioners are moving ahead full steam. As far as development, things of that nature, we got Mr. Scott Sauer, Mr. Vaughn, and also Ms. Robin over there that are getting the Part F grants put together, so it will be submitted. And if you remember last time, we received $500,000 from the state of North Carolina. Some people have asked about, you know, how about the match? Well, we've got that figured out. We're moving forward with everything. So this is another great project, and this here can be a huge economic development for Bertie County.
Absolutely. And these meetings open to the public. So if you're, whether you sit on the committee, you just want to come up and observe what we're doing, join us. Join us. Commissioner Bazemore.
Okay, I serve on the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners Trustee Board, and they have approved a new program to help counties reduce repair costs related to vehicle collision. It's for our sheriff department. The program offers incentives for risk pool members to purchase what they call push bumpers, which can reduce repair costs by over $500 for frontal collision damage. And so they're giving out three per county as long as it lasts. So I would love to see Bertie take advantage of that. It's free to us. I also want to remind the citizen of the census. It's time for us to continue shaking, because we need to inform our citizens just what it is. It's nobody trying to take anything from you, but you just want your name, maybe who's in your household, simple. And it's very important, because that helps bring in money to the county. So please, when you hear it, act on it, share it. Let's get to work. Also, it's almost time for the primaries, and we want to put the quarter cent sales tax back on the ballot again, and that is to benefit our school system. So please spread the word that it is to help our children and educators. That's what it's for. It's not for county business. It is for to help our educators and school system. Because if we don't educate and give money to our system, we're at a loss. We already at a loss with no broadband, little in the county. So, you know, we have to help them with their needs. They are asked to take tests along with Wayne, Wake County, and everybody else, but we don't give them what they need to succeed, and they're still succeeding. So I only can imagine if we support this bill so they can have money, this amendment, we're going to be on the top. Also, I was appointed to serve on the Roanoke Juwan Community College Board of Trustees by the governor, and I should be taking that oath soon. And I have a concern with Blue Jays. We've been working on that project since 2015. It's time for it to be completed. That was our number one priority, and it's still not completed. So I have a major concern with that. We need to finish that before we talk about moving on to something else. You know, I think it's matter what's left, but let's finish it. And also, the board and citizens have been invited to the Martin Luther King Day Parade, January 20th, downtown Windsor, North Carolina. So if you'd like to participate, please let me know.
What time is the parade?
12 noon.
Okay. Mr. Vaughn, on that subject, I'd love to see on our work session agenda the quarter cent sales tax and see if we can do some strategize on how we're going to tackle it this time.
It'd be nice to get the school board in here with us.
We've talked to him about it.
Dr. Smallwood.
Yes.
And we have to take turns sitting up there at the polls. Yeah. Whatever we got to do to make it happen this time. Right.
I think he liked the idea of saying to his staff, vote yourself a raise, which is true, because his money will go directly to not just teachers, but to all school employees, bus drivers, the works. So rather than, you know, and this money is will you pay it when you go to all the other counties around us, but when those folks come here, they don't pay it. So we're missing an opportunity.
And it's only one quarter of one penny. One, I mean, a lot of people thought it was a quarter, but it's not. It's one quarter of one penny. Right.
And you don't pay it on food and a lot of other goods like that. So, you know, we need it. It's going to generate somewhere around $1,000 to the school system. So it will. We were one of the four counties in the state who did not offer a stipend to our teachers. We do now, as of this budget. But this is additional money to make that stipend a little bit more meaningful. So great idea. Thank you.
My turn?
Yes.
So great news. All of you are invited. Next week on Wednesday. yes, sorry. I did it again, Sarah. Sarah sent out some emails for me today, and we started off that conversation. So on Wednesday at 11:30 at the Tri-County Airport, just outside of Orlando, we are going to have our groundbreaking for our new terminal. This terminal, y'all, is no local dollars. It's all 100% funded by DOT Aviation. So we're getting a brand new, wonderful-looking terminal, and our groundbreaking will be on Wednesday, next Wednesday at 11:30.
And that's going to be 15.
Yes. yes. please come and share. We're going to have a small get-together when we have our ribbon cutting in about a year or 14 months. We'll have a bigger to-do, but for next week, we just want to make it happen. We're excited. Steve Bibb serves on that authority with me, and we're excited. We've been working on this since I've been elected. it's been a long time, but we're excited. So come join us.
Okay. I just have a couple of things to remind you. On Martin Luther King Celebration Day, which is January the 20th, here in Bertie County, there's a new organization that's expanding to Bertie called Carolina Rebuilders Ministry. They, prior to this, coming to Bertie, were active in Washington County and Shawan County. Last year, they did 10,000 man-hours of repair, free repair work, to homes owned by seniors, people who qualified low income. So they are expanding to Bertie County. We're looking to give them a permanent residence here in the county shortly. We will be moving in that direction. But on the 20th, that Monday, they will be sponsoring a day of service, sponsoring with the Methodist Church, the Methodist Men, the Baptist Men, and the West Roanoke Missionary Baptist Association. And we're going to be doing 6 to 8 projects free for those homeowners. We're still, right now, we've got 6, but we have 2 more that we're looking for. We're working with the West Roanoke and the Met to identify homes, projects that can be done in one day. Maybe it's clearing and cleaning up a yard. Maybe it's putting smoke detectors and rails in bathrooms. Maybe it's doing some painting. Maybe it's putting a ramp on. Project that can be completed that day, one day. The teams are coming from about 15 different states, volunteers coming in to work with us. And we're having a lot of volunteers from the Layman's League of the West Roanoke Association, the Methodist Men, and the Baptist Men. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a wonderful opportunity to kickstart what this group will be doing in Bertie. We're already taking applications for homes that need repairs starting when the weather changes. But this is just now kind of our test, and it's a day of service for MLK. They don't just do minor little details. They do major work, roofs, additions, bathrooms. The job is to keep homeowners in their homes, and the work is free. We have a grant from the Duke Endowment of $600,000, and that will have that grant for the next 8 years. So a lot of that money can be spent here in Bertie County. It's going to be a real game changer for us. So we welcome you to come out, participate with us. We're going to be meeting at the Methodist Church. Volunteers, you'll see a lot more stuff in the paper, on the radio, even on the TV about this. Okay. I want to apologize to a lot of citizens what you've had to put up with at some of our convenience sites over the last few weeks. We've had an awful lot of complaints from areas like Rosemead, from Highway 17 about bins being full, even a couple of the places that literally closing down, not closing the gates, but saying we won't accept any more trash. That is ridiculous. We entered into an agreement with Republic Services that they were going to maintain these convenience sites, and we're going to hold them accountable and responsible for making sure that they're open and that they're available to citizens. Worked with Mr. Vaughn. We made calls not only to the local management, but all the way up the line at Republic, and let them know that they need to come up with a solution, and that we don't want to see this happen again, ever, as long as they have this contract. And we're going to hold them accountable. We're asking them to come before us and present a plan about how to keep this from happening. It's crazy. When I had one citizen call me, she had been to 3 sites and could not leave her trash. 3 sites, because the people are literally having to put trash on the ground because the bins were full. At my site, where I live in Windsor on Highway 17, the highest volume site, we have 2 compactors and 6 of the great big bins. They were all full. All. So we apologize for that, and we're going to correct it. Just want to let you know.
We addressed this before the holidays.
Sure we did.
Predictable mm-hmm.
Yes, so we're going to make this. Let me close with one last thing. Commissioner Lee and Commissioner Bazemore sit on the North Carolina Association, know that the chairman each year has what they call a chairman's initiative, right? So I want to kind of start that within this board as a new chairman, because it's informal, but I want us to be able to focus this year on housing for Bertie County, especially middle-income housing. You know, the state refers to us as a dying community because we're losing people. We're not the only one. Most of the counties in this region are dying. They're losing population. You look at the major causes for that. We have jobs here. We have probably 150 jobs every day that are not filled. And one of the main reasons is because we don't have housing. We have teachers who live in other parts of other counties because they can't find housing here. And you know what happens when they get an offer over there? They leave us and go over there, right? So I think housing is one of the key issues that we need to be able to focus on, especially middle-income housing, okay? Because that can attract people to come and live here. Imagine if we had middle-income apartments available here near our prison, and the number of people who work there from all the other counties around us who would love to live here in Bertie County close to work, but we don't have housing for them. Or how we'd be able to retain teachers and attract new teachers if we had better housing. So I want us to think about ways to focus Steve Biggs and looking at ways and incentives and things from the state. I can tell you that most of the other counties who are heavily hit by disaster, One of the things that they are doing is adding public housing, not just public housing, but replacement housing, apartment housing. We have not done that. So we need to look at how we can improve the housing availability in this county. So it's going to be one of my number one focus for the next year. And with all the help of my board members and all of you, hopefully we can make some dent in that, make some improvement. All right. Junior commissioners, please. And aren't we fortunate to have, I mean, I was just told by a couple of counties just a couple of weeks ago, when they saw what we were doing, they saw the paper about our junior commissioners, and they loved it. And so I think you're going to see this idea spread. And these folks are not just here. They represent their constituents real well.
All right, I'm going to speak my piece real quick.
Yeah,
we can get ready and go,
but
I'm kind of
beat. Yeah, me too.
All right.
First day back
school,
after
school night.
When I left, it was hectic. When I got back, it was chaotic. All right. So first, I have no exact idea of who the cooperative extension agent is. I have a rough idea. I can sketch them out, but I don't exactly know. But in regards to that, I do know that that is a it's a much needed service, especially being that I'm at, myself and my classmate here, we're at Berkshire Early College High School of Agri Science and Biotech. So we run into him a lot. That's what I just met him today, dealing with my hydroponics. So trust me, if it's the one that I believe that it is, I have nothing to say about him but a couple of prayers.
Guy Holly, the 4-H extension.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, mm-hmm. You already doing. The next thing I have to say is with this tax. Whenever you say the word tax, everybody is Papa. I'm gonna let you know that right now. So with this tax, if it is really going to do what I believe it is going to do, I believe that we need to really enforce that to the public. Because most people, and I'll give myself a little bit there, when we hear anything dealing with tax or any type of raise going towards a government entity, we know, well, we don't know, but we can feel in like the back of our heads, that money ain't going over there to them, that money going somewhere else. They ain't going to tell me that money going somewhere else. So if we are going to put that on the polls, and I believe that will be November,
March the 3rd.
All right, that's even better. That means I can vote before I leave home. If we're going to do that, we need to really and truly, and if you are able to, if you can do it in the next board meeting, that would be awesome. If you can put it in the papers, that would be even better. We need to convey to the community exactly how instrumental that tax is going to be. Like, I'm for real, like, give them figures, give them numbers, give them all the information they need to really, what's the word, to really compound them into, hey, this right here, this good tax, it's a good deal, and it really will help. And trust me, if I believe it's the same tax we talked about 9 months ago. It's a very good, very good deal, especially being that we are in a rural community where agriculture is basically all that we know. And so it's very, very good. My next piece is that I am delighted to be a part of the Tall Glass of Water meeting tomorrow. I look forward to it. Hopefully, well, no, not even hopefully. I will be able to sleep tonight. That way I will be nice tomorrow. And I look forward to it. Other than that, I have not much to say, and I'm going to turn it over to my classmates.
Very good.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question regarding last month's meeting. Has DOT responded to the request to fix the road in the Creekside subdivision? And I ask this question because I have been a resident almost 12 years and the road is terrible.
It is.
To my knowledge, no, we have not. Tracy, have you? Oh, Tracy said that. She's left. So I don't have an update for that, but I will get one. Mm-hmm. At the next meeting, I'll bring that back.
Things move really slow.
Yes.
Thank you.
But we have to keep pushing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And for you, sir, your part is to go back and all those students that are eligible to vote
First, they need to do their homework and know who to vote for, and then they need to get out and vote and help that course sales tax and vote yes. Okay? So you need to go back to school and tell them.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you're right on the mark, because we said that every penny of that is going to go to the school system, and we have to be able to assure people, put that in writing so they know that it, where it's going, where that That's dollars right. are going, you know, what benefit it's going to have. So thank you. Good ideas. Next, County Manager?
Yes. Well, I just have a couple of things, but after all these updates and you all still in the thunder, it won't take me very long. My two items were the 2020 census, and the goal of the 2020 census is for everybody to be counted once and only once. And so I'm not going to go through the whole shebang again, but it's simply just to know exactly who's living in the household. We need to get a count for every person in Bertie County. Otherwise, we're doing ourselves a disservice. Our representation when it comes to House representatives is based on that. When it comes to getting grants, they ask, what's your population? So I can't stress the importance enough to you guys about completing the 2020 census. If you haven't already got some information about it, you can get more information about it. You'll be able to complete it online, probably the first time this year, on the telephone as well as by on paper. And so if you don't go ahead and get it around probably about the summer months, you know, people will come knocking on your door, making sure that you have done it. So again, I can't stress enough how important it is for everybody to complete the 2020 census.
Yeah, and every person missed, think about this, $1,600 to your government. Every person missed, $1,600.
And we'll ask you some questions, but that information is protected. It's not made available to law enforcement right now, so try to not be fearful of that, okay? And law enforcement and other agencies are not able to get that type of information. All right, on to my next item, which was the quarter cent sales tax. Commissioners, again, you already touched on that, and Junior Commissioner, excellent points. I agree with you. Oftentimes we hear the word tax and it's automatically no. But right now our goal is to really drive this campaign hard when it comes to advertising. I met with Superintendent of Bertie Public Schools, Dr. Smallwood, recently, and we were discussing some ways that we can get the word out to parents, to a staff, and to the community. And so we're really about to go hard with advertising and we can't spend taxpayer dollars advertising, telling you to vote for it, but to vote against it. The goal is to educate the public, educate everybody about what it is and what it will be used for. And just so you know, it's a tax. It's not just like a one-time fee, as already been said. It will not be for things like gas or for groceries. But on everything else, it's just an additional tax. And a little bit from everybody is what adds up. Because again, it won't just be Bertie residents, it'll be people who are from other towns who are passing by. So for example, on a $100 purchase right now, by the time taxes are added right now, you would pay $106.75. With the quarter cent sales tax, you would only be paying $107 actually. So let me say that again, make sure you got it. On a $100 purchase right now, by the time taxes are included, you would pay $106.75. With the quarter cent sales tax added, you would only be paying an additional quarter, which would be $107. Okay? So again, it's not a lot per individual. By the time everybody pays that quarter of a cent, it adds up. And again, the estimated value is like $175,000, which of course, as the commissioner said, will go to Bertie County Public Schools. For employee supplements. So that is all that I have.
Thank you. County Attorney.
Yes, sir. There are three items that I am to report on today to the commissioners. The first one is the Carolina Rebuilders Ministry lease, and I spoke to Chairman Wesson about it briefly a couple of weeks ago. I've made the changes that the commissioners asked that I make and sent that to David at CRM, and he had to pass those by their attorney, their board, come back to changes. So we're waiting right now for the their redraft, essentially, of the lease.
And I think you'll have that before the week's out, John.
Okay, great. Now I'll jump right on that as soon as that comes in.
Great.
Secondly, the road safety maintenance ordinance. I spoke with Cliff Smith before I came over, and he's got the first Superior Court complaint drafted, and is going to be prepared to file it by the end of this week. My question is, do you want to see the draft before it gets filed, or do you want us just to take care of it?
Just take care of it.
We're just going to follow the ordinance and step through this, the process that's set out in there, and to the full extent that it's stated. So suffice to say that we'll do that.
And then lastly, I would love to see the draft.
Ma'am?
I would love to see the draft.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. We'll send one over to you. The third thing is the contract agreement for ownership of artifacts for the Tallgrass Water Project. Lloyd is working on that. He had already sent some language in a previous email about sort of roughly what he would put in an agreement about artifacts to protect any artifacts that are found, that, you know, found in county soil, which would probably be county property, just to make it clear with whoever is doing any excavation. And he's working on that and should have that draft done soon. He just doesn't have it ready for today.
Were we going to vote on the changes to the ordinance?
Oh, that's going to come up. You're talking about the portion that talks about it being served by sheriff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be later on, not today.
Okay.
Yeah, that's got to be promptly advertised and
gotcha. That
sort of thing.
Okay.
That hasn't happened yet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
And as I said early, at the end of our meeting, we also have a public comment section. So any citizen would like to step forward and make a comment, this is your time to do it. Again, give your name, give your address, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Sir?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Jamal Summey, and I'm one of the district court judge here in Spire County. I live in Roanoke Rapids. I know a couple of people here. I've been a defense attorney and a prosecutor for over 21 years. Legal experience dates back to David Beard and Battery Asbell. David Beard taught us to be fair and impartial and follow the law. Worked as a defense attorney, and I worked as a prosecutor over here in Berkeley County. I'm David Beard. So I am running for district court judge in Bertie Irvin, New Hampton, and Halifax counties. And there's a lot of area to cover. That's why I wanted to come out tonight and introduce ourselves to you all, the Board of Commissioners, and also the citizens of Bertie County. Just to let you all know that we are having on February the 1st of this year, we're having a meet and greet, myself, and also we're having a voter registration drive, and we give away free food at the Civic Center right here by the YMCA. So if you know anybody who's not registered to vote, it'd be a good opportunity to get them to come out and register to vote. And again, I just want to introduce myself to everyone.
You certainly have a lot of signs out there. I'm seeing them everywhere.
Well, now you get for the face with the signs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, I know several of you all have
been busy. Right. Somebody's been busy.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Robert Spivey. I live at 514 U.S. Highway 13 North, and the issue I would like to take up is infrastructure. Now, I have a sewer line that comes right past my house, but yet still I'm not on it. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Okay. Well, let me say this. First of all sewer in this county is owned by the town of Windsor. The county is not in the sewer business. So any sewer that you have would be that, and concern would be with the town of Windsor. Now, if you're talking water line, then yes, but the town is not involved in the sewer business. That would be the town of Windsor.
Okay. Yeah. And the town has their own water system also.
Yeah. Now, you may be in the town, but you may be on the county water, you may be on the city. Exactly where you are in the on the county property and the town line, but we're not in the sewer business. I would you know, take that concern up with the town of Windsor. They meet.
Who is that?
Beg your pardon?
I suggest, who is that?
The town of Windsor, they have a board of commissioners like for the town. They meet on once a month. They meet in the morning at 8 o'clock. You know, you, what's,
I don't, you could actually call Alan Castle.
Third, second Monday of each month, Thursday of each month at 8 o'clock. But call the town manager, Alan Castillo, and tell him your concern. And I'm sure he'll address it. Yeah.
They're right across the street next to the old bank. The old Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm. So that's where they are for folks in town, where you pay your water bill if you're on the town or in.
And I guess that's because, like I said, I don't live in the town.
Right. Yeah, but they still have all the sewer. We don't put any sewer pipe in the ground. We don't own any sewer system. That's all owned by the town of Windsor. Okay. Yeah, the county's not in that business.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I haven't been here in quite a long time, but we have a person in here that's down here from Pennsylvania. She wasn't born here, but she lived in Philadelphia. But the family have property and all down here. She's down here to pay the taxes and all. And I asked her, and I begged her, please, come to this meeting just to see what we are doing. Because I'm trying to get them to come back here.
There you go. That's what I was going to say.
I want to see this county grow. And we got to have some people in here that's interested in making it grow. So, will you please stand?
Introduce yourself to us.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Paulette Jones, and I just came to listen, but that was not acceptable. So, I do come here often. This is my family's home. I know I'm considered an out-of-state homeowner, but I do care about Windsor. This is where my roots are. And there are a lot of out-of-state homeowners who do care about Windsor. And I do wish there was a way to reach out to people like myself other than a tax bill, because we care what's happening. We would like to, I know I'm coming here since I retired. More and more, I spend more time here. And there are a lot of, I'm just finding many people that are moving back. But there are, I think, more people who would be coming back to visit, coming back to see what's happening in their home, if there was just another way to reach out. Tax bill, I know, has to come, but there are other things that happen. And I look at the Facebook page, I read the commissioner's notes and all those things. And people would do that if they know. I'm not sure exactly how to make that happen, but I would be interested in facilitating that as an out-of-state.
Dr. Johnson, that is an excellent, excellent recommendation. There are a lot of folks here. I was one of those for many years who was born here but didn't live here on a regular basis, and trying to stay connected to what was happening here, it's tough sometimes. So, I mean, that's excellent. And we can look to take that under advisement and work with you, even remotely, and bounce some ideas off of you and see if we can do something. I mean, I think it was Commissioner Baseman said it. When we did that newsletter that we did about what's happening in Bertie County, we talked about expounding on that, right, and doing that on a regular basis to send that out maybe in bills so people can know what's going on. Even out sending out subscriptions to the Bertie Ledger, and hoping that people can read about it into the Roanoke paper so people can stay connected. It's a great idea. Great idea. Thank you. Thank you for coming paying the taxes, too. We appreciate it. Okay. Well, that ends a regular scheduled meeting. Oh,
excuse me.
Yes, please.
I'd like to say, in answer to one of your questions, you didn't know who our ag agent is. It is Jared Hurry. He works 100% in Bertie County. He was involved in the hydroponics at the school. And you all will be receiving an email, because we'd like to have our report to the people. Cooperative Extension does once a year. We'll have a lunch. We may have a homemade lunch this year. and I would like to invite the junior commissioners as well.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powell.
When we have that date set, we will invite you.
Thank you.
And you can meet our staff and know what we all do.
Thank you.
Your spaghetti, that other meeting we went to, was delicious. I recommend that.
Mr. Manager, do we have anything else? Excuse me, Mike.
Sarah, I got a different hat this time. As chairman of the Bertie County Board of Elections, a lot of talk has been going on tonight about elections. Everything you need to know. As of last week, an injunction was filed. You will not be required to show ID at the polls in March.
It's important. Want to know? Great. Thank you. Any further business?
No.
Okay. Great. Do we have any closed session?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Citizens, we will have a closed session with just the board, but I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you being part of this meeting. We appreciate you being here with us. Thank you very much.
I think
I make a motion we come out.
Go in first.